The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, bonjour, hi Canada, I'm Hugh Hewitt. It is the morning after the most significant Supreme Court argument that I have heard, well, since Casey versus Planned Parenthood. I didn't hear Casey versus Planned Parenthood, though, in person. I got to listen to the Supreme Court yesterday because since Casey was decided back in 1992, the last major abortion case in the United States, the Supreme Court has adopted the habit of allowing major arguments to be heard in real time. So I listened with rapt attention yesterday, and I will spend most of the first couple of hours of the program today focused on the fact that I believe that Roe and Casey are approaching their end. The bell is tolling, and it's tolling for them. They were egregiously wrongly decided when they came down all those decades ago. They have taken the court off into a wilderness every day of which they must carve new paths out. They have not settled the law. They have done nothing but sow division in the United States and confusion among lawyers and commentators. From what I heard in the justices asking questions yesterday, Roe and Casey will be overturned. I'm not sure what will follow. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, before we get to the actual questions asked by the justices and one statement by Mississippi Solicitor General defending his state's 15-week ban on abortions that was passed and that led to this case of Dobbs, let me review just a couple of the other headlines of the morning in the rundown. Because while all eyes or ears were on the court yesterday, the first Omicron case was found in the United States. This is the variant of the coronavirus about which we are so concerned, and rightly so. Although in South Africa, the first cases have only had mild symptoms, we don't know. And the head of Moderna, one of the vaccine makers, believes this will be materially different in its effectiveness, this variant effectively evading the immunity we've all acquired either by previous cases of COVID or via vaccine. Still remains the most important thing you can do to get vaccinated and to get a booster. That remains true because the Delta is everywhere. It's the variant that's killing about 1,000 people a day. Maybe it's down around 900 a day people now. It's all Delta variant killing those people who die. And those who are vaccinated are protected against the Delta variant, especially if they have the booster. The booster adds remarkably to your ability to ward off that dire disease. Now, it may not kill you, but you really don't want to have that disease. Go and get vaccinated so you can enjoy as much of Christmas as possible. But Omicron is here. It's in the United States. It's only going to be a matter of time. Exponential growth is exponential growth, and we will see it spread across the United States. Stacey Abrams announced she's running for the Georgia governor race again. Stacey Abrams is the person, even more than Donald Trump, who gave rise to the idea that elections need never be conceded. And I wish Democrats would concede that Stacey Abrams got it started. She has refused to admit she lost that election. She's running again. If and when President Trump runs again, the former president will be citing Stacey Abrams as his role model. She's running. I believe the governor down there will beat her. What's Brian's last name? I can't remember now. He's going to win. Meanwhile, the World Tennis Association has suspended tournaments in China because of the treatment of China's preeminent woman tennis player. It's not quite disappeared. It's pretty obvious, though, that she's under extraordinary, her name is Peng, she's under extraordinary restraint from the regime, being made to appear so that she doesn't appear to be restrained. She's been blacklisted, disappeared, reappeared, disappeared, and the World Tennis Association says enough is enough. And it's about time people began to wake up. May they show the way. The Olympics need not go there. The Olympics can still stop, cancel, reschedule, come to Salt Lake City, go back to anywhere there's snow. Go to Austria. Go somewhere where you don't have to be embarrassed by the fact that your hosts are committing genocide against the people and are blanketing their athletes with fear and will disappear them if they want to. On the very last thing I want to know before I get to this case is that My friend Dennis Prager thinks we're in a panic about Omicron. I am not panicked, and I don't believe you should be panicked. I believe you should be watching very closely, because I think what we have seen, all of the signals, are that the medical community is preparing for a wave of new COVID cases, previously unseen, against which the therapeutics we have developed may not be effective. That's really what I see and hear, and I hope it doesn't happen. I pray you do not get it, and I don't want to get it, but I've already changed my behavior, and I believe you ought to be changing your behavior as well. Headlines on the Roe case yesterday. It's actually the Dobbs case about Roe. From the Wall Street Journal, Supreme Court majority shows openness to Mississippi's precedent-breaking abortion law. From the New York Times, Supreme Court appears open to upholding Mississippi abortion restriction. From the Washington Post, Supreme Court seems inclined to uphold Mississippi abortion law that would undermine Roe v. Wade. And from the Wall Street Journal editorial page, an abortion's crossroad at the Supreme Court, this part of their editorial this morning. These columns have long supported the policy of legal abortion before viability, albeit uneasily, as technology has revealed the development of the fetus. I don't agree with that, but they are libertarian-leaning at the Wall Street Journal. I'm Catholic. I think it's wrong. I believe if you're pregnant, you ought to have the baby. And given the rise of safe haven laws across the United States, if you don't want the baby, go give the baby away, and it will be well, well taken care of by loving parents. The burden of pregnancy is simply not enough to justify ending that life. It is very inconvenient. It is very hard. It may lead to shame and cost and some sorrow and some risk to the mother. I know all that. But that life is life. And if you get to a doctor, the doctor will take care of you for free if necessary, give you prenatal care. And when the baby is born, you can give that baby away. There's no downside. None whatsoever. Safe haven laws. They came up a lot in the Supreme Court argument yesterday because they matter. The burden that used to be lifelong is no longer lifelong. The safe haven laws are in every state now. You can give away that baby. And it's up to the church, by the way, especially the Catholic Church and any church that has been pro-life all these 50-plus years. It's up to us to step up and add even more resources and make them even more available to women having a crisis pregnancy, one they didn't plan on, one that they fear, one that may lead to abuse. And it's important for us to be there for them in a way that we haven't ever been before, and perhaps it will unleash a flood of taking care of children in need and finding new adoption of possibilities and finding new parents and taking care of those moms. Crisis pregnancy centers, thank you all these years for waiting. It's not over yet, but I think the day is coming when people are going to rush to you to help because they know for sure it's the only alternative for moms in crisis. The Wall Street Journal went on to say that the great legal scholar Alexander Bickel wrote in The Morality of Consent, the court simply invented a trimester medical analysis. One is left to ask why. The court never said and refused the discipline to which its function is properly subject. It simply asserted the result it achieved. This is where the justices now find themselves, with a new conservative majority and state legislatures testing the limits of Roe and Casey. That's why Mississippi is done with its 15-week ban. That's what Mississippi has done with its 15-week ban. Although it's important to note the state's legal bait and switch. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked the law, and the state's petition to the High Court to hear its appeal said, to be clear, the questions presented in this petition do not require the court to overturn Roe v. Casey. The Chief Justice asked the state of Mississippi exactly that question. Why are you here? You didn't say this in your petition. And the canny Solicitor General of Mississippi said, well, we put one line in, we preserved the issue, and the court has changed. And that is the honest way to deal with it. The court changed, and they put the one line in there, and so it's before the court rightly. The journal concludes, the justices could agree with the Fifth Circuit and declare that Mississippi's law is unconstitutional, but that is highly unlikely, given the new majority and its originalist view of constitutional interpretation. I'd like to play Justice Clarence Thomas, if I can. He asked the key question very early on, cut number 16.
General, would you specifically tell me, state what the right is? Is it specifically abortion? Is it liberty? Is it autonomy? Is it privacy?
Right there. What Justice Thomas did, and the reason I played his first among all of the cuts, and there are many, many questions that are interesting, is that by asking that question, he focuses everyone on the text of the Constitution. There is no right to abortion remotely anywhere in the Constitution. It was invented. It was invented 50 years ago. It is time for that experiment in constitutional lawmaking to end, and for the Supreme Court, I hope expeditiously, to overturn Roe and Casey. I'll be back with more from yesterday's arguments on today's Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. If you're buying gold, do it from Birch Gold. You can find Birch Gold at hughgold.com. I'm glad that they're sponsoring the podcast, but more importantly, I'm glad you're looking at making sure that your investment portfolio is diversified. Wealth is made in concentration and preserved in diversification, and you should diversify a part of your portfolio, 5 to 10% in gold. You can do that by rolling over a portion of your IRA or 401k into a gold and silver and other precious metals depository maintained by Birch Gold. Or you can just buy gold and put it in your safety deposit box. Either way, do it from Birch Gold, which you can find at hughgold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's hughgold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Now enjoy this podcast. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Congressman Mike Garcia from the great state of California, the 25th Congressional District. He's back. Congressman, good to talk to you, and happy Merry Christmas to you in advance.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving as well, and good. Thanks for having me.
We did. We had the whole family together, and I'm recovered now that the grandkids are gone. Congressman, California's in a world of hurt. Next time I'm going to talk with Michael Schellenberger, the author of San Francisco. And right now they're doing redistricting. I'm getting some echo back in my ear, Ben. I'm wondering, what is the situation with redistricting in California, especially about the 25th, which you represent?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We lost the connection there, Hugh. Do you mind just repeating the question?
You bet.
Sorry about that.
Let's start by asking, what is the situation about California's 25th congressional district? Where is the reapportionment process gone?
The redistricting. Yeah, so it's still in work. We're supposed to be getting the final maps before the end of the month. We've got, you know, this quote-unquote independent commission that's working it. And when you hear that word independent in California, that should make the hair on the neck stand up for conservatives. Right now, my map in the initial maps that we've been getting looks a little tougher. It goes from a Biden plus 10 district to a Biden plus 13 district. So it's going to be a little bit of a tougher fight. We'll still prevail. We're doing good things on the ground and for our constituents. And I think America's waking up to the fact that they need to pay attention to people who they're electing, and these liberal policies are not working. So we should be okay. But we'll know before the end of the month, December here, and we'll be able to tackle it.
Well, you know, Congressman, you're a fighter pilot, and I know you've flown in some pretty bad weather. Is it easier to fly with the wind at your back? Because you've got, obviously, the wind at your back. A red wave is forming. Democrats are fleeing the House. Another one quit yesterday. I think they're up to 19 who have quit and said, no mas, no mas. How's it? Is it better to have the wind at your back like that?
Interesting metaphor. Wind at your back can actually make you stall and fall out of the sky. So I think we can be very careful as conservatives that, you know, this isn't a two-inch putt between now and November. We still got to work hard. When you launch from an aircraft carrier, they turn into the wind, so you can actually get more lift. And, you know, I like headwinds. I like competition. I like friction. I think it makes us all better. It makes us work a little bit harder. It makes us all think a little bit more. And there's nothing wrong with headwinds. We can still prevail and get the majority back. The nation has tremendous headwinds right now, and that has the collateral benefit of supporting Republicans who are running for office in 2022. But it's not a good thing for the country. We will fix a lot of this as conservatives, but we can't rest on our laurels and just assume that Biden is going to continue to implode and that the American public is going to remember the catastrophes in 2021. So we've got to keep reminding folks and come with solutions.
You know, I should know better. I've got fighter pilots in the family. I should know better, but I don't, because I'm a civilian. But I do know about China, and I want to talk to you about China. We should not be going to these Olympics. We should not be sponsoring them. We should not be broadcasting them. We should have nothing to do with them. That's my position. What's yours?
Yeah, so my position is I think we should be sending the athletes and nothing more. We shouldn't be allowing corporations to sponsor, you know, anything there, send money at all. Not a single dollar should go to China for the Olympics from the United States. I do want the athletes to go so that they can kick the hell out of the rest of the globe in these sports, and we can see our national anthem and the flag go up at the end of the event. But, you know, this is a lifelong dream for some of these kids. I think they deserve to realize that. And just demonstrate the prowess of American athletes well on the global stage. But that being said, we should not be sending a single dollar. And it's, you know, the irony of this is Coke is willing to boycott Georgia and Atlanta for Major League Baseball activities, but not China when they've got the most egregious incidents of genocide against the Uyghurs. They're willing to turn a blind eye for that. So that's where we're at.
Are you worried about our athletes, though, Congressman? Former Secretary of State Pompeo is worried they'll get disappeared, that they will be harassed, that they will be harmed. And indeed, what China has done to Ms. Peng, their leading tennis player, gives some reality to why we ought to be concerned about that.
Yeah, I think it's a real concern. We've got to take all measures to protect them. I think not just physically, but also economically and from a cyber perspective, anyone who travels to China is vulnerable. So I do think we need to be able to take measures, and we can. We can ensure the security of our athletes through the proper measures. The problem is this government right now doesn't understand what proper measures are. I mean, we've seen the debacles in Afghanistan, the southern border, and China, and it's clear that this president doesn't understand what security actually looks like. So that's my concern. It's a doable do. It's something that can be mitigated. It's just a question of whether or not this government is going to have the capacity and the courage to do it correctly.
Okay, let's get over the target, which is no matter where the lines of your district are drawn, everyone within them are going to pay the gas prices that I hear about every day when I connect up with my California studio. And I gather it's over $5 a gallon for premium gas now. What do your constituents say about inflation, Congressman Mike Garcia?
Well, it's a backbreaker, you know, and in my district specifically, we have a large amusement park, a lot of Hollywood production, and these are industries that were completely shut down for a year, year and a half, right? So we have massive unemployment problems in my district. Otherwise, a generally blue-collar district who are just trying to work and get back to life. And you know, California was a wobbly top, which was about two revolutions from falling down before the pandemic. And now it's just a complete disaster out there. And it's translating into massive inflation problems for the constituents. You've got elected officials who think that the way to get out of this problem is to continue to layer on bureaucracy, red tape, and raise taxes. And it's aggravating the problem. So this is why we see so many people leaving California. My concern is less about the maps and more about the fact that a lot of these folks who are creating jobs and who are willing to work and in turn pay their taxes if they're fair are actually leaving California for other states. So I'm worried that we're actually losing the job creators. We're losing the hard workers. We're seeing law enforcement retirements now at record highs. And these are all really bad harbingers for the state of California.
Congressman, where is your district? And importantly, what is your campaign website? I want the audience to know you are on the target list for the Democrats are going to try and take that seat away from you that you worked so hard to win. You turned a blue district red. They're going to come after you with the knives out, and people across the country need to help you and want to help you. How do they find you?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So we're in northern L.A. County representing Santa Cruz to the Antelope Valley. Our website is electmikegarcia.com. We need all the support we can get. I am the number one most targeted incumbent Republican in the nation. This is a seat that Biden won, like I said, by 10%. And we weren't supposed to win this. And we won on the back of hard work, the right messages and conservative values that people do still value. And it's all about security in this race. So electmikegarcia.com. Would love the support of the nation on this one.
When you are out and about, you are a war vet. I'm not sure if you flew in Iraq, Afghanistan, or both of them, but I know you're a combat air vet.
Just Iraq.
What did you make of the collapse of America in Afghanistan and the way we left American citizens, green card holders, and SIV applicants there?
Yeah, obviously it's shameful. It's heartbreaking. There's all sorts of adjectives to use. This was an avoidable scenario. We knew it was coming. You know, our congressional office continued to get folks out even after the deadline. Our congressional office, my district director, Charles, has been doing God's work. We've gotten 115 Americans and SIV applicants out safely since this debacle started. So there are still congressional offices working. And look, this is a major hit on the reputation of our nation. If you had asked me 3 years ago or even 2 years ago where Afghanistan was in the rack and stack of threats against the United States, Afghanistan or the Taliban would not have been in the top five. And we've proven that we can't deal with that threat correctly, and now they are in the top five again. And meanwhile, we've got these two giant bears called China and Russia who are over the horizon looking at this and frankly, licking their chops in anticipation of our weakness. So this is a huge problem for us. We've got to demonstrate strength again. The problem with China right now is that the United States and China, between the two of us, neither nation fears each other. China doesn't fear us because they don't have to. They know they have technological and capacity and capability advantages in many domains. And we're not fearing China because this administration isn't paying attention. This administration is not giving the credibility and the due regard to this Chinese threat that it needs to. And I think the average American is starting to pay more attention to China than this president, commander-in-chief, is right now. So, you know, this is the fundamental problem. You can't bury your head in the sand and hope for good things to happen. You have to have a plan, and you've got to expect that the enemy is going to use its weapons against us and prepare for it. And fundamentally, that's where he failed in Afghanistan. It was a strategy of hope and dreams rather than actual execution. So we still need to get Americans out. I don't want Americans to forget that there still are Americans stranded in Afghanistan.
We won't. My friend John Andrazik works the problem every day. Americans for Afghanistan is his organization. We're behind that. ElectMikeGarcia.com. Congressman, come back when the lines are finished. We'll tell people exactly where they are. But everyone in the country can go to ElectMikeGarcia.com. Thank you, Congressman. Have a great day. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Kirkham and Resveratrol Omega. Temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains. Temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains. And you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi. Canada, I'm Hugh Hewitt, inside the Beltway Live on the second day of December, the day after arguments before the Supreme Court in the case of Dobbs, the Mississippi statute that limits abortion to those before 15 weeks. I'm joined by Jim Garrity, not a lawyer, which is an advantage in this case, because I want to know what non-lawyers thought of what happened yesterday. Jim, of course, is with National Review. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jim Garrity. You can follow him on the Jets website, devoted to sadness and despair as well, where he frequently goes out and just drinks online with the rest of the Jets people. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Hugh.
Now, how are you? How are the Jets?
On a one-game winning streak. Actually, mildly, so, you know, Zach Wilson came back, didn't break anything. Didn't really do that great, but that's fine. He's alive, which is a major accomplishment after those games.
Off than the Browns. The Browns lost on Sunday night, almost certainly crushing our playoff hopes, but not yet. We're still in the hunt. Jim, you're a layman, not a lawyer. What did you make of yesterday's arguments before the Supreme Court?
So I begin with the assumption that even though justices are supposed to approach every case with an open mind and with listen, you know, carefully to the arguments, I suspect the justices know how they feel about the issue of abortion. They know how they feel about Roe versus Wade, and I think in some of the cases, like with Sonia Sotomayor's, fury about the stench that will be on the court and all that stuff. You know, a lot of her commentary during the oral arguments was indistinguishable from a Nancy Pelosi speech or Planned Parenthood fundraising email or something like that. That said, the thing that jumped out at me the most was Chief Justice John Roberts making the point that in terms of the issues of viability of the child, the fetus, we are comparable to China and North Korea. And for a lot of conservatives who've learned to not get their hopes up when it comes to John Roberts, That comment to me suggests John Roberts is not entirely comfortable with the current state of our abortion laws. I think it is likely that, as the lead of today's Morning Jolt newsletter is, the abortion laws in this country are likely to change. I just don't know exactly how.
You know, I've known the Chief Justice since we served together in the Reagan White House in 1985, and I do not believe for a moment that he is comfortable with the abortion laws of the United States. I don't know what he's going to rule. I haven't talked to him about it, of course, and I haven't seen him in a year. But that also caught my ear, because that is a talking point of the pro-life movement, that we are cruel and unusual in our abortion laws. And he echoed that. Now, I believe he would probably... He also mentioned the Mississippi Solicitor General. Didn't you just argue the 15 weeks? You didn't ask us to overturn Roe. And the general from Mississippi said, well, I kind of did. And they let it lie. I guess he will assign himself the majority opinion overturning Roe and Casey, but I know not where the court's going to go. Fair summary?
I think so. And the other thing I think is we're likely to get a very complicated decision in which you're going to see the justices confirming in part and dissenting in part. And you may end up with, I'm pretty sure it's going to, the laws will change, and I think it is likely that Roe will either be overturned or reinterpreted in a way that allows states to enact greater restrictions on abortion. I don't know if pro-lifers are going to see this as a huge victory. I don't know if they're going to see this as a small victory. I don't know the details. And I think you're going to get, this may be one of those cases where almost every justice writes a separate opinion and weighs in on this. Or maybe Sotomayor will write for the three most leftward justices there. I think it's going to be complicated. I think we're heading towards a country where there are fewer and fewer abortions. Probably not going at the pace a lot of pro-lifers would like to see. But in the end, I think momentum, and oh, by the way, morality is on the side of the pro-lifers in this.
Now, I want to be careful on how I phrase this so I don't confuse people. Whatever five justices agree on, the broadest rule or the narrowest rule, depending how you describe it, that the five agree on is the law of the land. So if five justices agree with Justice Kavanaugh that we ought to be utterly neutral, the court ought to be utterly neutral about state abortion law, that's it, no matter what the Chief Justice says. But if the Chief Justice says the 15-week law is good and Justice Barrett agrees with him and four other justices go with Justice Kavanaugh, then it's the Chief Justice's opinion. I'll explain it when it comes down. It's complicated, but not that complicated. I am hoping this might be a case where the six who are going to overturn Roe and Casey understand the need for clarity and simply abandon the field and say it's up to the states. And I don't think I am, I'm overly optimistic, Jim Garrity, in hoping that at least five justices will say that, and that they'll say that in rather short order. They're not going to stretch this out if they can avoid it. And even though some of the justices may want to take as long as possible to make as, I think you're right. Justice Sotomayor was so political in her comments. She would like to delay this until the middle of July. She'd like to delay it till the day before the election because she thinks there's going to be a revolution. I think she's wrong, but the sooner the better from my point of view. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this will probably be the last decision they announce. I think it's just in keeping with almost a tradition of the biggest ones coming on the last day. But the other thing also, I think, is that there are a lot of Democrats who believe that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, this mitigates or maybe even completely shifts the midterms of 2022 and that they have a big political benefit from that. What I write in today's Jolt is probably going to upset both pro-choice activists and pro-life activists. I'm not sure this actually has that huge an impact in 2022. Well, certainly not as much as they think it's going to. I could be completely wrong on this, but I think, let's say it comes down in late June, early July. We've seen over decade by decade the number of abortions go down. We've seen decade by decade the number of unplanned or unexpected pregnancies go down. There are some interesting surveys that indicating that all general sexual activity is declining year by year. All of these are factors that lead to demand to abortion. So reducing demand for abortions means that fewer people think about it. And I think most people don't think about abortion until they either want one or someone they know wants one or needs one or something like that. So in those circumstances, I think come November 2022, whatever the state of the economy is, whatever the state of gas prices, food prices, if the supply chain issues are, is COVID in the rearview mirror, crime, the border, what's being taught in our schools, all those things are going to be in the issue environment for 2022. So will it be people who care about abortion vote on abortion? Yes, absolutely. And they always do, year in and year out. But Terry McAuliffe put a lot of effort into trying to make this the governor's race, a referendum on abortion. and it didn't shake out that way. So I,
Jim, you're exactly right. Salience matters. They never understand this, but voters issue salience matters. And if your number one issue is guns, you vote on guns. If your number one issue is abortion, you vote on abortion. But if your number one issue is I can't pay for a tank of gas, you're not going to vote on abortion. Moreover, I think voters are smart, and they know that in California, it's a constitutional right to get an abortion under the state constitution. They're smart. The left thinks voters are stupid, and they're not stupid. They're smart.
The other thing I will almost guarantee is that if let's say the Supreme Court comes out and they overturn Roe versus Wade or reinterpret it in a way that allows states to restrict abortion more thoroughly, there will be idiot celebrities who will jump on Twitter and say, we are in the Handmaid's Tale. They'll act as if abortion has been banned from coast to coast. That's not the way the law works at all. But certain people who are really ill-informed will react that way. I think, though, like the other thing, which I think, again, I think pro-lifers may be somewhat disappointed, a year from now, even if the decision comes down the way they want, because I think very few states will flat out try to ban abortion, no exceptions, that sort of thing. I think what you're going to see is just a continued this pace. I think there's like 100 various little restrictions that have been enacted against abortion in the past year. Parental consent for those underage, partial birth abortion bans. Nibbling around the edges, requiring fully licensed doctors to be performing them, things like that. I think that's the pace, and that's...
Jim, there are 10-plus states with springing laws on the books, meaning that complete abortion bans enter into effect the moment Roe is struck down. And so there will be some places where abortion clinics will close overnight. And I imagine legacy media will be standing outside of them and not the Planned Parenthood clinics in California, New York, which remain wide open. So I just think it's impossible to say, but I would not be surprised to see the narrow holding with Justice Barrett doing what she did on the religious liberty case, saying, we know Roe is wrong and Casey is wrong. They're overturned. I'm not going beyond the 15-week ban along with the Chief Justice. Let's see what the states do. Bring it back to us. Argue it out. Because a rational basis test is coming. Because if a state says you can't have a morning after pill, I think that will be struck down. Last point to you, Jim.
No, I think that's the case. I think that one of the other sections of today's newsletter, I kind of go through the polling. And look, you can find different polls, but in Gallup, it's been pretty consistent. About 20% of Americans think abortion should be illegal in all circumstances. About 25 to 30% think it should be legal in all circumstances. And about half of all Americans are somewhere in that mushy middle, where they're okay with it in some circumstances, not okay with it in other circumstances. And I think our laws are going to ultimately reflect that, messy hodgepodge.
I agree. Jim Garrity, that's why I read The Morning Jolt, why you should subscribe to The Morning Jolt at nationalreview.com, why you ought to listen to Jim and follow him on Twitter at Jim Garrity. He is indeed Jim the Indispensable. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned to The Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.